The central idea of the marriage vow is this. You and your mate pledge that sexual activity is restricted to the two of you. No old flames, no flings, no other partners. To violate this destroys the trust that a working marriage requires, as well as violating the commands of the God who designed marriage in the first place. Today, why keeping your vows is crucial if your marriage is to make it. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his four-part series on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. When marriage vows are broken by immorality, the damage done extends even to our thinking processes.
In my brief pastoral experience, from time to time, I've talked to those who are involved in sexual immorality and those who are walking away from their marriages in order to, quote, find themselves. And one of the things that I've discovered is that they are not thinking clearly at all. It's almost as if they are in a trance. They're in another world. Have you ever noticed this? You try to talk sense to them and you say to the woman, what about your children? Or you talk to the man and say, what about your kids? And you might as well be talking to some stones in a graveyard. He can't hear you because he's in this state of euphoria. What do you mean? I'll handle it. I remember calling a man at the instigation of his wife over the phone because he was involved with someone else, and he was saying to me, you know, what do you mean? It was just as if, you know, well, connect, okay? Look at what you're doing to your wife. Look at what you're doing to those precious children God has given you. Think of the implications of this as it goes on in this life all the way to eternity. Think about it. And then realize what it is that you're going to do. But he can't get it. Why? He's in a state of euphoria. You know the letter that I began with about the man who said that his wife is on the internet with a former lover and now she wants to leave and they have kids and all. There's no way that he is going to convince her to do otherwise. Because of all the water that's been under the bridge, he probably has forfeited any authority that he has over her. Somebody else is going to have to do it, though, and that's what I recommend. Somebody has to bring these people down. It's almost like an alcoholic who doesn't get the message until he wakes up someday in his own squalor and begins to realize, I need to change. When it comes to immorality, it is almost impossible for us to see with clarity because we are so desirous to be self-deceived. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, I hear what you're saying, but I just can't go back. I can't go back because I've invested so much in this divorce that I'm contemplating. Well, I understand it may cost you something to go back, but it'll cost you a whole lot more, almost certainly, if you keep moving ahead. Sin is so costly. It's the most expensive thing in the universe. You know, you think about this. I know a man who was in Christian ministry, and he left his wife of 30-some years to find his dream, and he had found his dream, and 3 months after they were married, he actually dropped dead. You know, I've often thought about that. It's been a sermon to me. I thought, you know, if he had known that he had only 3 months to live, he might have stuck out an unfulfilled marriage knowing that he was going to have to explain all this to Jesus someday, very shortly. I think he'd have said, you know, life is tough, but I can take it for another 3 months. You never know how much you have. I often wonder, too, you know, at the wake, as he is there, who's at the head of the casket greeting the mourners? The wife with whom he had lived for 30 years, with whom they had children, or the new wife? Very interesting. Oh, what a web we weave when once we practice to deceive. Now you say, well, Pastor Lutzer, my husband can't change. All right, now, before you say that, my wife and I met a couple that we got to know through my speaking engagements, and we've kept in touch with them. And She's a wonderful woman who came through some difficult situations with her dad. You know, and you know, there's been abuse, and you take all of that, all that whole cartload that she's working through, like many of you having to work through this kind of a past, but a real genuine heart for God. On the part of her husband, if I could describe him, he just didn't get it. Do those words mean anything to you? Have you ever met somebody like that who just doesn't get it? That's the way I describe him. And then, you know, if you're in this marriage relationship and you, without your wife's knowledge, go and take all of your retirement account and you lay all that money out because you've come across a scheme that's going to earn you a lot of money on the internet, and you blow it all. It's tough to explain. It's even tough to explain if you told her you were going to do it. It's a little tougher when she finds out later that your retirement is gone. I mean, we're talking water under the bridge here. So anyway, about 6 weeks ago, I get this email. About 10 months ago, after a counseling session, I simply asked our counselor in front of Bill, that isn't his real name, but these folks live out of state anyway. They've never been to Moody Church. You wouldn't have a clue who they are. And they wouldn't mind if you did at this point. To get me out of this marriage, I have a deep relationship with Christ, a loving relationship with my sons and daughter-in-law. Just please help me to live in peace so that I don't have to live with this man who's been so cruel to me. All right. Bill left the meeting agreeing that he was ready to be free also. About an hour down the road, he said the Lord almost spoke audibly to him and started bringing to his mind all that he had in a wife. He said it was so overwhelming that he had to pull to the side of the road because he couldn't stop the tears from flowing. That took place last July. We spent about 4 months completely isolated from each other. I still didn't believe a word he said. But I began to see changes. In fact, our counselor said he saw changes too. After 8 months of being very, very cautious, we decided to have a private ceremony with our sons and daughter-in-law to reunite. Our counselor is an ordained minister, so he performed the event. He is a different man. 90% of everything that comes out of his mouth is completely different. He's humble but confident for the first time in our lives. He is moved to tears often, and remember, this is the man who never cried. He thanks me over and over again for giving him a second chance. I just returned the compliment with, "I'm so thankful you chose us." Because when you choose the wife, you choose the kids, you understand, and the grandchildren. We can laugh, talk constantly, pray spontaneously, and spend as much time together as possible. Thank you for your prayers and for speaking truth to me. At any rate, I emailed her back a couple of weeks later and said, you know, this is so wonderful. Is it still happening? You know, and she said, absolutely. She said she never knew that she and her husband could have a marriage like this. You never know what God will do. But I'll tell you what the price is. The price is honesty. And when there are things in your life that you're hiding from your spouse, when there are issues that are huge, would you go to a counselor? That's not a confession of need. It's just that there's so much water under the bridge in terms of relationships that people don't even know where to begin. And you can't look at anything objectively anymore. There's just too much pain, too much hurt, too many tries and failure. Go for help. But it's going to take a sense of honesty. And what you're going to have is, you know, the other side of the moon illustration that I gave you. That's going to have to come into the picture until you have a better understanding of who it is that you married, what her needs are, what his need is. And that's what we're going to talk about also next time in the message. And you begin there and begin to let God do what only God can do. The Bible does say that through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have forgiveness with God, thankfully. And by the way, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, this would be a good opportunity for you to do it. If you have a sense of sin because of what I've preached on, and you know that you need a Savior, Jesus is the place to go, the one to go to. He's the go-to man. But if you're here as a believer, and all of this stuff is in your life, and your marriage is in trouble, Get on your knees and stay there until God shows you the way. And if honesty can prevail on both sides of the equation, God can heal a very difficult, meaningless marriage. And if you agree, can we pray? Father, I want to ask in the name of Jesus for those who are here today, for those who are listening by way of internet, radio. I pray today, Father, that wherever this seed has fallen, that you'll give men and women the grace and the strength to respond. Grant that to them, Father God, because our needs are great. Save the marriages of Moody Church. Save the marriages of all who have listened and beyond. Help us, Lord, because we are so weak and we're so prone to deception. Bring us to reality. Now, before I close this prayer, what is it that you need to say to God today? If you were to say, God, what do I do about my situation? What would God say? And whatever he says to you, tell him you're going to do it. Oh, Father, please help us. Please help us, because we are so needy. And those marriages that are in trouble, I think of the one that I heard about a week ago where a man is leaving his wife for greener pastures. Two precious children left behind. God, please, would you shake him into reality? And he represents women who are leaving. God, come to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friend, I can't say it too often that if you are about to leave your marriage because you found another partner or for some other reason as far as that's concerned, you are really living in a delusional world. You've created your own reality. You're saying to yourself, I can violate God's laws and it's really the best for me. And I want to say to you, it isn't. And I do hope that if your marriage is in trouble, perhaps you should take advantage of the opportunity to receive these CDs, and you'll be given that opportunity at the end of this broadcast, and listen to these messages together. Commit to listen to them. And then at the end of each message, ask yourself a simple question. What is there that we should be doing? What sin has been uncovered? What issues do we need to deal with? And listen to each other. One of the greatest respects we can give to one another, the way in which we respect our partner, is to listen carefully, whether we agree or not, but to listen without judging, without interrupting, to let each speak his or her mind, and then ask the simple question, where do we go from here? My heart is with you today. God is with you. I hope that your marriage will be put back together, and if you have a good marriage, I hope it will become better. And I'll see you next time.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapping up Those Vows Mean Something, the second of four messages on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. Tomorrow, listen to find out why the goal is holiness, not happiness. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series on Till Death Do Us Part can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss our next edition of Running to Win.